All right, so I'm here with the Melismatics from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Thanks
Word
for,
up.
Thanks for stopping by, guys.
Thanks for letting us stop by.
No
and
problem.
And having us here. In this killer studio, I might add.
Thanks, man. How's the coffee?
Coffee is just amazing.
That's the most important part of running a studio,
yes.
I think.
Is that
coffee?
Is that Folgers in my cup? Is that what I'm tasting?
The best part of waking up.
Is that Nashville?
That's my Nashville impression of a session guy singing a Nashville
singing a Folgers commercial.
Sweet. So, you guys have been really hitting it hard on the road lately. How's that going for you? West Coast thing?
West Coast, yep. That we just completed a West Coast run last week. Came home for a few days. Went did a college show at University of Minnesota Morris. And then we were home Monday through Thursday. Here we are now in Indianapolis. And tomorrow... No, wait. Today, we're going to Nashville, Tennessee to play The Basement. And then tomorrow we're playing Chicago.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And you said it's kind of tropical here.
It's tropical here, yeah. It's cold and rainy, but compared to what we're dealing with in Minnesota, it's tropical.
Still got about 5 feet of snow.
Pretty much.
5 to 8 feet.
And we're going to get more.
Great. I feel for you.
No, you don't. You don't care.
I am pretending.
Why would you want to live there?
Why would you want to live there? Why Minneapolis?
Great music scene, man. Great music scene.
I moved there as a fetus, and it was a decision because I liked the... No, I'm just kidding. I have no choice.
I like the polar bears and the penguins. That's why I'm there.
Okay. I'll take that.
They're going to be moving here shortly. Oh, wait, we didn't want to get into politics.
So, studio, I'm going to sit here and chain smoke, okay?
Yeah, go for it.
It's a little too early to have a beer, so right. I won't go there. So, how many studios? It sounds like you've split this up.
Well, in a way, it depends on what you consider, you know. I mean, there are tracks that are on many tracks that were recorded in our living room, you know. And then we went into the studio. Initially, we went to Flowers, which is in Minneapolis, run by Ed Ackerson. Really cool studio. It's our favorite. I think I can safely, collectively say it's our favorite studio in Minneapolis. Like, it's awesome. It's a great studio. And, we brought tracks from the demos in, and a lot of the tracks we were able to keep. And what we basically did is we just kind of went with the rule of thumb: if we can do it better in the studio, let's do it. And if there's no purpose to re-record something, if it's good the way it is, why redo it? You know,
right?
And so then we started retracking there. So a lot of it was done at Flowers, and then little extra things were done. Like John Auer was in Nashville, which the listeners don't know who we're talking about here, but John Auer produced a number that probably over half the album, and he is the singer and songwriter of the Posies, and he's been in Big Star for 17 plus years. And anyway, he was in Nashville working on an album and recorded some of his vocal tracks because he's singing on some of the songs. He recorded those in Nashville, whatever studio he was working at there. I think it might be, well, it was wherever Brendan Benson was. He was working on their album,
right?
So wherever they were, I don't know.
So, technology and studio and cost. I mean, that's something I always like to banter with musicians about. What's your take on where the, say, recording industry, not even as much the marketing and selling, but where's the recording industry at this point?
It's going in the hands of literally everyone. The power is down to everyone who's going to buy an iPad and has GarageBand. I mean, I don't know if that's what you're getting at, but it's weird. Like, anybody has the ability to do, to some degree, a recording that could be considered somewhat professional. Obviously, you got a really nice setup here. That's rare, but there's a lot of people that are recording on their,
USB microphone.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go.
And so I see there's 13-year-olds with their bands, and they're making recordings that if you were doing that in the 90s or even 8 years ago, you couldn't, if you were 13, you wouldn't be able to do what they're doing now. It's amazing.
I look back to my first experience. Well, I had the four track when I was a kid.
Oh yeah,
I think we all did. Right.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Vestafire was one of them. Wow. But when I, you know, I'm trying not to date myself here, but let's say 15 years ago, you know, you're recording on 2-inch tape, no linear, non-linear editing. It was all linear punches. If you missed it, it's screwed. Go back and do it all again. Mm-hmm. It took you months to finish an album, and I think Ron and I had the conversation that what you get, though, is there's a ton of great music of kids doing it in their house, but now you kind of got to wade through mountains of crap.
There's white noise. There's white right. noise going on. I mean, where? Yeah, exactly. You have to. The filters are off in a way, and nobody really seems to care. Like, I mean, there's certain labels, you know, like select labels. Like, people might care what's on Merge Records, or they might care what's on Epitaph, or you know, you could list a handful of labels where people actually care what's on that label specifically.
Right.
But other than that, it's like no one's going like, well, let's see what's on, you know, Sony, because anything on Sony's good, you know? I mean, it's just like, and the whole point of like the major labels is like, you know, they were, you know, really like, you know, able to separate, you know, what was happening from, you know, but, so yeah, right now it's yeah, you're exactly right. There's so much happening. Anyone can put it out there. So how is that stuff filtered out? And it's filtered out by like tastemakers and basically, you know, blogs that people.
Like, this guitar is worth this much because Gruen says it's worth this right. much, kind of thing. Yeah.
Right.
So in that aspect, you know, what's your goal? I mean, you have a good, you know, internet following going on. Hopefully when you go from city to city, the good part is you can let them know without sending a packet of flyers to the venue. You know, you can let people know.
We still do that, though.
Do you?
Yeah, we still do, and I feel like if we didn't, the club might... Sometimes they get a little... Like, I've had actually club owners call me and say, you might know who I'm talking about when I do the accent, but are you going to send the flyers down? I haven't got any flyers yet. And you know, so it's like, you know,
people need
nothing
that.
They do need that, because here's the other thing is the fact is, back to the white noise, how many invitations and evites and like events going on Facebook are there? Like, you go up in your inbox, like there's like, I can't even keep track. I'm like,
this is an event for my cat's birthday.
Yeah, yeah. There becomes like that becomes a white noise. So then you still, nothing can replace like people hanging out in the club and they see the flyer for the, oh hey, the band we like to see is coming back. You know, you still got to do that, but right. I mean, yeah, you got to do everything. You have to do everything now.
Right.
It's all about everything.
That's very general.
He just quoted his own lyric.
Well, actually, yeah, but Ed Akerson was like, "You should call the song that. It's all about everything."
Keep it very general, so my listeners can make their own assumptions.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So with that in mind, what's the ultimate goal? Because 10 years ago it was, we want to get signed. What really, I mean, is that something, obviously the marketing and all that goes into it's part of what comes with a major label deal, but, you know, is that first and foremost in your mind whenever you're sitting down to write an album or anything that you do?
Definitely not. And I would say that the goal of a record deal is like kind of archaic at this point. Not that a record deal is bad. You still might want a record deal, but the whole point of a record deal is that, you know, it's like, in a way, it's the start of a promotion of an album. You know, it's the beginning, and you can do these things on your own, and it's not that, and frankly, labels are scratching their heads. We all know this. It's nothing surprising. People that work at the labels are just like any of us sitting here. Like,
right.
You know, they don't really know much more. And, it, you know, like I was saying, unless they can, like, unless you're plugged into a scene, you know, like some labels that are like, they got their following and they throw you on the tour with all these bands. It's like, unless that's happening, I mean, it depends, it completely depends on what will a label actually offer. I mean, what will they do? I mean, you know, you need people working your press. You know, you can hire someone to do that, that a label could easily hire as well. You can, you know, you need to be doing like internet promotion that just basically costs money and manpower. And it's like, You know, and then you need to be touring, and you need to do all these things, and it's not. You really can do it with or without a label, and I think a label is nice if they're gonna get behind you and do something, you know. But you don't have to. It's you don't have to wait to start until there's a label. Like I mean, you know, because when we put albums on two labels already, and it's like, and you know, I think we you know. We'll see what happens with this one. That's one of the next steps is when we finish this album.
So who are you releasing with this time?
We don't know yet. We don't know. We've talked to a few, and we'll kind of see where it all pans out. I think we'll just kind of see what are the options and then go with whatever seems to be like the smartest thing to do.
Right.
Doesn't really make sense.
Or even do we need a label?
Right. Exactly.
You know, we don't even know yet.
Right. I mean, if everybody, you know, if it's like if your options are labels that are going to take like 50% of everything, and basically we'll give you worldwide distribution online. Well, you can do that for $30 now through TuneCore.
Right. Like,
so do you give them the 50% so you can, or do you just pay the $30? You know, I mean, it's like...
I would vote for 50%.
Okay. All right.
He's our accountant. That's why we have Democrats. Hopefully that's why we have Democrats. Explains everything.
Right? He's our accountant.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and then if a label was saying, well, then we're going to, you know, we have a staff of people that work on promotion and we're dedicated to our artists and we're going to do this, like, well, then that's encouraging, because you know, you're basically, you want a team, you're just, like, broadening your team. And then if you don't go to the label, you have to make sure you have that team in place, you know?
Right.
It's like, you know, but, and that, like I said, that's not really hard to do. Like, it's interesting, you see that, you know, like, we've been working with Hip Video Promo, they're from New Jersey, it's a, you know, video promotion company. And you can look in who's hiring them. It's like every label hires them. So if you hire them, it's like you're getting the same exact video promotion that someone on, you know, and you, if you look at the list of labels they're working with, it's the same thing. It's like, so I mean,
so you know, why, like, why you confine myself to a 5-year deal where I'm locked in and
right.
can be shelved or any of those fears, I think.
That right. And again, I'm not saying that labels are bad or you don't want it. You do if it's going to enhance what you're doing, but you don't have to sit around and wait. Like, it's not impossible to collect the relatively small amount of money that it costs to do that campaign and do that. Like, you know, there's nothing stopping anyone from doing that.
Right.
And they don't work with, like, you know, a lot of those companies don't work with just, in, you know, they have to... You know, they're not going to take, like, if it's something's horrible or it's not in their, you know, to their taste of music, they're not going to just work with anything. But, you know, so they're still selective, but it's, you know, the point being you can kind of construct your own business model that works. And, you know, and you just have to weigh out what's the value of someone else doing that for you or you just doing it yourself.
Right. I had the pleasure of getting kind of a sneak peek at a couple of the tracks that you guys are working pretty close. Some of them
are
like they're
really
pretty
close.
Much concrete.
Yeah, some of them are completely done, and some of them are just like little tweaks.
I'm very impressed. I mean, it's as usual, you know, in your guys' form. There always seems to be some sort of evolution of the band, of the direction of the sound with every time you guys do something new. It sounds, I mean, in my not so humble opinion, I've never been known to be humble. there's a certain polished nature. It sounds, what's the word I'm looking for? Precise. There's a lot of precision with it. Is that something that has just evolved, or is there forethought going into that?
Well, I believe that it's not necessarily like there's no like master plan to like, you know, like let's be more precise on this album.
It's just growing.
It's just growing.
I think we just grew and learned a lot, you know, maybe from the last album that we did and people that we worked with on that. And you just kind of absorb all that and you just kind of start to become this, you know, you just evolve.
Right.
Exactly. And I think, you know, as a band, I feel our philosophy is why repeat yourself? You know, like if you make an album, you don't need to make that album again, you know, with another. And so
AC/DC, like, would argue that point, but
no, and that worked for AC/DC, but they started in the 1970s when it was like a little different world, you know. But I think now, like, I don't see, you know, like, I don't really get excited about bands that make albums that I know exactly what they're going to sound like. You know, we, like, in fact, we talk about in the van, like, we're just saying, you know, it's like, if it's predictable what's going to happen next, then it doesn't, you know. So this album, in my personal opinion, I feel like, what Ron was saying, you know, the reason that maybe this is a more precision, this album, partially is from working with, our last one was produced by John Fields, who is a very slick producer, and that's his style, you know. And we learned from him a lot, you know, by working with him. Also, you know, I would say prior to that, it was a little behind the times. I was still working a four track if I was doing a demo, and then I got heavily into recording with modern equipment.
Right.
And so the demos were really elaborate, and I think that when you're doing demos, you have you're unlimited on your time that you can put into thinking through things, and then when you can take that into the studio, it's like. You probably are gonna you're gonna lose a little bit of the what's gonna happen. I don't know. We're walking in the studio with a blank canvas. Right. It's half the canvas is already there. But you have to be a bit more precise when you're executing it, because there's so many things in place. This album, I think, has way more layers of things happening. It's way more dense and in a way experimental. You know, while still being pop music, there's layers of things that we would have never at our last album. Not even, you know. If you listen to it, they have completely different sounds, in my opinion, you know. And, maybe our next one, who knows? I mean, maybe we'll go record, on analog tape and be
In a barn.
And be live, you know. I don't know. I mean, we don't know, you don't want to keep doing the same thing over and over. But I love other types of recordings. I love garage rock that's recorded, sloppy with, it's, it all has its value.
Right.
It's all very cool,
So there was probably, and I'm going to ask this question, probably already knowing some of the answer, Ron and I, I have the pleasure of when I have you guys here, I'm keeping Ron up all night long and talking music and going to the politics and religion and everything we've done in the past. But,
that we'll be covering in this podcast.
Yeah. We'll do that. We'll take that offline, as a lot of people like to say. Writing, and because of you getting more, into what you had, from what I understand, kind of a drastic change in writing style, as far as maybe before it was everybody shows up, sets up their gear, and says, "Okay, what do you got?" And we all knock it around. Whereas when you have this, and I found myself being a singer songwriter in the same position of, "All right, guys. Here's what I got," and you can throw bass down, and you can track what you think of drum, what you think your vision of the drums would be, and then let people build from that. Did it cause problems? Was it more efficient? How do you guys all? I guess it probably aimed more to everybody.
I think it was more efficient, and it gave us a good starting point, as opposed to sitting there for the first 10 minutes in the rehearsal space going, "All right, well, show me your bridge and show me your verse section and then what's your idea for the chorus?" And then it saved a lot of time and just helped, I think, get his vision across as a songwriter a little clearer in his mind, you know?
Right.
Agreed? No?
It did save a lot of time.
I do think the transition was a little weird at first, where, but I think once we got into the groove of that, it really was more efficient and easier for me personally, because one of the hardest things in my mind is to because I've never been the kind of writer that I always have ideas of what everything should be doing, and it's and to go and be okay, here, it's just it's so tough to communicate that stuff. But when you can just be literally, you can hear it all at once. And like I said, I mean, I used four tracks extensively for a long time, but it got frustrating, especially when I was still doing it when it was just so archaic. But, I just got years ago, I used to do things where I'd write this is a long time ago. I would get so, before it seemed ridiculous to use a four track, I would use I'd be okay. So I'd map everything out, all the parts that I would need to have on these four tracks, and then be okay, so if I record drums, bass, and this keyboard, and then while I'm recording the keyboard, put this vocal part on there, then I bounce that to one track, and those things can all be in the same stereo image. Then I can take this guitar and then this other thing that's going to, this vocal that's going to be in the left, and I do that and bounce it over. And it was just like this big to do, you know, like it took so much planning. It's so ridiculous, but,
right.
You know, I love working like, you know, where you're recording at the same time that you're thinking of stuff, like, because I don't know, it's so much better.
Right. And I'd, you know, and my thoughts on it, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, you guys have been doing this for some time now. This incarnation has been doing it for how long now?
Five-ish years. Like, well, the first...
It's been longer than that.
Well, 6 years. Our first album with Pony was in 2008, right? But it took us a long time to... That was a really weird transitional period, you know, because we were trying to reinvent who we were.
That's a different dynamic for sure.
It was almost like starting over at that point. And, you know, even though we've got albums as the Melismatics prior to that, and they are Melismatics albums, but it was a new band, you know?
Right.
And, you know, I really think that we probably, every album we've ever done sounds like a new band. I really think that's true. It's like, I don't think we ever did like part two of the previous album, right. You know,
we've never where I go with that is, you know, after 6 years, I think, again, you know, stop me if I'm completely wrong, but there's a certain sense
okay. You're wrong completely.
You see how well I obeyed? I'm a good listener, see?
Just give me shit.
After that long, there's certain maturity and comfort in a good way that you reach, that everybody kind of knows their part in the whole grand scheme of things. And so I would think after that long that it would be a lot easier to adjust to, hey, here is the person for the most part that puts these skeletons together, and we're okay with that. There's no feelings being hurt, because you know that right. happens in bands.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the time is creative input and people feeling stepped on and I want to write this and this and that. And I see so many bands, you know, just blow up after a couple of years of. And I think ultimately I think it's important for people to know
role playing is important.
Everybody correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like I feel like we have an environment that is like while you know it's like you know the, if there is an idea you know it's like the concept is to achieve the idea, but anyone can have an idea. It's like no one, you know what I mean? It's not like, you know, anyone can like bring in something. Anyone can, you know, it's like, it's not like a stifling environment,
but
you know?
But you need like a completed thing. Like,
what's
for
that?
You, I've noticed that.
Well, no, that's what we were saying. Like when I was saying, like for me too, like it, you know, having the technology available to be able to communicate things by demonstration, you know, is
and
like.
Communicating drums. How awkward is that, right? You're going, that's second dat.
There used to be a lot of that, where now with him
bringing
the demos, it's not
and
that
then
anymore.
Ryan can listen to it and be like, I like that. I don't like that, you know? And it's like, and, you know, it was interesting making this album, I think, you know, like, when you and John Auer, when he was producing a lot of stuff, like, you guys would kind of go back, because John was, like, intimately familiar with the demos, and he... You know, like, there were certain parts that he really liked, or that, you know, like, you know, it's not that everybody always, like, agrees, but we all, like, are trying to get to the same goal. Like, he might have said, well, this part I really feel like is making this part, or, you know, or we can change it, you know. And it's like, you know, so, again, it's, like, not a stifling environment. It's like, you know, it's like, every, you know, it's like you go in and you just try to, you know, make the best thing you can do. And,
And Ron kind of hit on something too, is the trust factor of, you know, you bring your vision, and the reason I speak to this because that's my role as well. So I'm very familiar with seeing maybe more of a grand scope of everything mashing together, as where maybe some of the other guys are more concentrated on particular masters of their game per se. And Ron was kind of hitting on is there's a trust that you have that he say kind of here it is, and you know when you're on your same when maybe you play something a little different or add your flavor that there's Ryan trusts that's the best thing for the song because he trusts your judgment on that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he does the same thing with Mark where, like, you know, here's where I want to go, here's the foundation, and we'll just kind of grab a hold of it and just kind of, like, make it our own and just go, maybe a drummer wouldn't do that. And, you know, and if it's something he feels strongly about that should stick, it'll stick. And then it can turn into a thing, too, where, you know, I'll put my flavor to it, and then the producer comes in and doesn't like my flavor. Now I'm wrong on both ends. you know, I got two people going, no, you're really doing this wrong. But you just got to work, you know, and you get through it, and you just, you know.
And I stick on
ultimately
this.
You're playing.
Right. And I stick on this because the sociology of a band obviously intrigues me. It's intrigued me all my life. It's there's a lot of, I think, a lot of effort and things that you guys are all almost forced to be very close and very intimate in a lot of ways. And I think that's amazing, the dynamic, but just for bands to stick together for more than 30 days sometimes.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. And for you guys, you know, cranking it out and maturing and growing for this long is, there's something to be said.
Yeah, no, I feel like, you know, honestly, I feel so fortunate that to have, you know, to be in this band. Like, it's like amazing that there's four people that, you know, that are as cohesive and like want to do the same thing and give up everything everyone gives up to do this. It's like it. We've seen so many bands come and go in our existence, like where we, you know, the hot band that we're, you know, then we're, you know, we're all touring at the same time up, and then they're gone. You know, years later, then you can barely remember what was that band's name again? That was like supposed to be the coolest band on the planet that broke up after a year. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, it's so hard to, you know, and it doesn't feel hard. I don't know, like, it's one of those things where it is very hard and it doesn't feel hard. It feels fun right now. And that's like what I feel really lucky that we have.
Right.
You know, we're not talking about, we don't, you know, like how many bands go through the thing where it's like, but I can't be doing this, or I can't, you know, it's just like the basic, you know, struggles of the learning how to tour thing. And like, it just, we all like learned how to structure our lives so we can do this, and, you know, and,
I apologize for sticking on that for so long, but it's always very intriguing to me. And I think it's intriguing to other people to get some background on, you know, we all hear the finished product, but, you know, what goes on behind the scenes that really makes it interesting. What else? I got so wrapped up in that.
Well, that's a good question. What else? I don't know.
Where you go from here?
Make this album, promote it, tour, do everything we can do, you know, like just work. That's right. That's the happiness comes out of the work, and then anything, you know, that, I mean, the frills.
And don't they say that's what defines a career, is when you're happy doing what you're doing? It's not a job anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. You know.
Anything you want to say to the fans before I let you let you go? Love is a strong word. Now we don't want to throw that around.
We'll throw it around.
Well, guys, I certainly appreciate y'all taking the time to sit down with me and talk.
Thank you.
We love having you here in Indianapolis, and next time you come back, we'll get in.
Yeah, we're looking for a recording in your studio here. Yeah.
Throw one down. Proletarian Studios.
Is that the name?
Yeah. I went ahead and went with that.
Very nice.
Kind of that Marxist ideal. We won't go into that. We'll save that for another day.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm here with Pony and Ryan and Mark and Ron, and we're going to sign off. And you guys, what did we decide on for a title for the new album? Have you gone there yet?
It's all about everything. So, yeah, I think we came up with it.
There we go. There we go. I don't know. I was thinking Piranha Sandwich. or
it's like shark sandwich, isn't it?
It's a little close. It
takes it to the next level, though.
Yeah,
you know, it's like it adds that extra danger.
Title
yeah, you get bitten off in little nibbles instead of one big whole limb, right?
Was it two word review? Shit sandwich.
Yep.
Can't print that.
They can't print that. Title is TBA. It's going to be a surprise. It's going to blow everyone's mind. So we have to keep it on the DL.
The best album ever.
Yeah.
That's always taking a risk, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once you do that, you know, how do you top it?
Yeah.
Well, guys, again, thanks for hanging out. We're looking forward to the release, and you know, we'll keep everybody informed.
Cool.
Awesome. Where to get it, you know, when you're in town, and hopefully we can come back after it's done and see what your thoughts are after that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Excellent.
Thanks, right. Thank you.
No problem.